All right, lecture four, creating a ministry kids don't want to miss. Okay, I like that title. Creating a ministry that kids don't want to miss. I know when I wanted to plant a church and I had to share the vision with the governing board of our denomination. That was my thought. I am going to present such a plan, such a vision, that this ministry board cannot say no. So you got to pour your enthusiasm into this thing. Okay. So what we're going to first look at the negative. What youth ministry is not. Okay, it's not these things. The first thing that youth ministry is not, is it's not entertainment. It's not babysitting. Sometimes, the whole children's ministry in a church is like, well, what are we going to do with kids? That the church and everything about it is for the adults. The sermon is for adults, the song, everything that we do is really for the adults. But we have all these kids to take care of. So we need a nursery and Sunday school and, they're not gonna like it unless it's entertaining. It's like, okay, they're having fun. That the emphasis a lot of times whenever we work with youth is we think we have to have everything as fun. They have to like it. If they don't like it, they'll be grumpy. And I know back in the day when I grew up, my parents didn't care whether I thought something was fun or not. They just said, this is what you're doing. But I've noticed over the years that parents are reluctant to have their kids do anything that their kids don't think is fun. Well, creating a ministry that your kids don't want to miss is not just about entertainment and fun. And it's not about adults as friends, okay? My parents were my parents. They were the leaders. They were not my friends. I'm not saying they weren't friendly, but their goal was not to, have this camaraderie and, we're on the same level here. Now, I know for myself, and I grew up during sort of the 60s, and the 60s were about, youth rebelling and rock and roll music and all of that. Eliminating the distance between a leader and the follower. So I, at that time, thought, yeah, parents should be your friends or leaders should be your friends. But then what happened is all discipline and progress went out the door. The problem with just having people that are friends in your life is they don't often push you to become something. You just kind of wallow in your own ignorance. It's not entertainment. It's not adults as friends. It's not a Sunday school class. Okay? Sunday school class was developed to, teach kids like the basics of the faith. You need to know the stories. You need to know the Bible stories. You need to know the doctrine. You need to know morality. What is the difference between right and wrong? Maybe a little bit of church history. Youth ministry is not just Sunday school for the kids that are a little bit older and out of Sunday school. That's often what we think. Because, what do we do with kids that are older? Well, let's not call it Sunday school. Let's call it youth group, but let's do the same thing we did in Sunday school. It's not video lectures, okay? The tendency today is youth leaders feeling insecure about their ability to lead or do anything that kids would learn anything or want to be a part of. So then they look for other experts who've done incredibly good things and, put them down on video. So you go to an evening of youth ministry and then you watch a video of some great speaker saying something for a half an hour, and then you ask a few inane questions where you hardly get any discussion afterwards, okay? Yeah, the kids can just watch YouTube if they want. Really, you're having a YouTube group. And you're the only one picking out the YouTube video. When kids get together, they all take turns picking out what they want to see. All right. It's not leader lectures. Okay? You know, adults, I know all this stuff, so I'm not going to tell you all about it. Okay, that, kids have enough of that already. They get it at school. They often get it at home. People are telling them a bunch of stuff all of the time. Do people really learn that much from somebody telling them stuff? Like, I'm telling you stuff right now, but tomorrow you're not going to remember half of what I just said. Probably even less than that. Unless you take what I am talking about, you write things down, you come up with a plan, you make a vision, you start sharing, you start actually doing something, it will come to nothing. Off-the-shelf Bible study. Again, this insecurity of youth group leaders. You know, we're going to study the Bible, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what questions to come up with. I don't even know what to study. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to find somebody that knows what they're doing, and they've written a book, and we're just going to follow the book. And it's like, I don't know. I've just watched that devolve into kids being bored. The youth group person is bored. We're going to talk more about this when we talk about Bible studies and what makes a Bible study go, or what kills a Bible study. But this notion of always finding something off the shelf, this notion that says that youth ministry leaders are not capable in and of themselves. We either need the incredible expert leading the way, or we have to find some material that will be our surrogate expert. I mean, what does that even communicate to kids? It communicates that every adult in my life feels insecure and can't do anything, and they need to find some other expert to do it for them. Which means I don't have a chance. How in the world am I ever going to do anything if the leaders in my life can't even do anything? Okay, well, what are kids looking for? They're looking for friendship. Kids are looking for friendship probably above all. They're friends. And the friendship circle is so competitive. Am I in this circle? Am I not in this circle? Am I part of this circle? Are people talking behind my back? Did someone invite, you know, a bunch of people? They didn't invite me. It doesn't matter where you fit in the circle of friends, you feel insecure. You may be at the top of the system, the school system. And you're afraid that, you know, you might be being pushed out. Or you might not have, you're not a part of any system. Kids are looking for friends. A person that accepts them as they are. A person that you can share things with and explore things together. Kids are looking for answers. They're looking for answers in their own lives about who they are. They're looking for answers to what they should do with their lives, where they're going, what they're good at, what they're not good at. You know, what the world is about, what God is about, what the universe is about, everything that they learn. How does this fit? Where do I fit? What's the plan? Is there a plan? They're looking for answers. They're looking for challenge. They are looking for challenge. You know, when I went on my first mission thing, when I was 19, went off to Ogden, Utah, the reason I signed up for this thing is I wanted to learn how to do evangelism, but I could not force myself to do it. I needed to go into a system that would push me right into the pool. I wanted to be challenged. When I was on sports teams, you know, the coaches that I admired, the teams that I had the most fun on, were the ones that challenged you. You can do this. You step up to the plate. Okay, swing. Swing harder. Swing softer. Keep your eye on the ball. Whatever it was. It was like, you are here, but I'm going to challenge you to go here. And you can do it. You know, practice. Keep shooting the basketball over and over and over and over and over again. And see what the improvement might be. Keep track of it. Write it down. Challenge. The first softball team I was on when I was in ninth grade, and then we formed a summer team. We were the youngest by far of anyone in that league. But we had a coach. He was a college baseball player, and he drilled us like an army sergeant, and we loved We love being on the team. We love practice. Practice was not just hanging around. It was every moment was like, you know, important. See, when you challenge people, then every moment becomes important. Everything that you do, you know, there's something at stake here. Kids are looking for a challenge. They're looking for encouragement. Everyone, with children and as you're growing up, because you don't know anything, there's all these people correcting you all the time. Parents, correct you. No, don't do it this way. Do it this way. No, don't tie your shoes that way. Tie your shoes this way. Clean your room. Eat your food. Don't be lazy. You know, on and on and on. We teach kids and we keep going on and there's a million things that have to be taught. And then you go to school, you didn't do this right, you don't do that right. Here's this, here's that. We're constantly correcting and directing children and youth. And because all these things are secondhand nature to adults, yeah, I know how to tie my shoes, I don't even have to think about it. That we just sort of expect young people to just do it and get it. Like, if you do this, it's just a basic thing. And we adults often don't do much encouragement. Wow, you did it. I told you about it and you did it. It took you a while, but you got it. I knew you would get it. Those little words of encouragement. Often, youth do not get this. In fact, most of us don't get it. You don't get it. You know, here I am telling you a bunch of stuff. Do this, do that. Get a vision. Try this, do that. Now, I don't know you. I'm not in your life. But if I did, if I was any kind of a leader, I'd be also saying, I know you can do it. I see this in you. I've seen you interact with somebody and you have this gift. I think you have this gift. Or, I gave you that assignment and you know, you didn't succeed 100%. But you did a lot better than most. I mean, you didn't learn how to walk right away. It took you a long time. And so that little encouragement. That's why kids love video games, because video games encourage them every step of the way. You know, there's bad things, there's good things that happen. So every step of the way, they're learning and they're growing. And they want to get to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. In a game that doesn't matter at all. They're incredibly motivated to do a game that doesn't matter. Why? Because the creators of this put all the right little things in it. The little encouragements, little challenges to keep people going forward. Well, that's what kids are looking for. Experiences. Kids want experiences. They haven't experienced much in life. It's the experiences that shape and mold us. So as youth ministry leaders, we get to help kids experience things. A lot of times we think, well, we got to entertain the kids. You don't have to entertain the kids. Just give them experiences. You have so many experiences. You know, bringing kids to some place of work. When I was young, you know, I remember, I think it was grade 9, our class went to Detroit and saw how cars were made. It was amazing. I'd never seen it, you know, assembly line. The word assembly line never meant anything to me. But when I saw it, forever, I understand what that is. Experiences. An opportunity to try. Kids are looking for an opportunity to try. A safe place where they can try things and fail. That is the greatest thing you can give a kid. Is a safe place to try and fail. Because that is the only way we learn. It is the only way we grow. It is the only way that you can figure out who you are and what God has made you for. What are kids looking for? They're looking for acceptance. We are born with this insecurity thing. I mentioned Genesis chapter 3. Sin comes into the world. Adam and Eve hide from God. We're insecure with our relationship to God. And then they hide from each other. They're insecure. We're insecure in our relationship to those around us. Kids are looking for acceptance. And they don't dare express who they really are, because if I express who I really am and you don't like it, that's all I've got. That's all I've got. It's all I am. So kids try to hide things. If I hide who I am and then I do something and you don't like it, well, you don't like the cover up. But that's not me. And so I have this layer of protection. But then no one knows me. I don't know me. I only know myself in the eyes of others. So creating a group where there's acceptance, direction. Young people don't know where they're going. They have no idea what to do. Where am I going? What was life? I don't know what work I'm ever going to do. I don't know who I'd marry. I don't know family. I don't know where I'd live. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to believe. They're looking for direction. They're looking for guidance. It's like they're on a trip and they have no idea where they are or where they're going. And you're the person with the map. This is what a map is. Look at it. This is what the Bible is. Bible tells you how the world get here. Why is the world here? Why am I here? Where is it going? Where do I fit into this whole thing? Love. It's kind of the acceptance thing. Love. To be loved despite your failures. To be loved in spite of your shortcomings. To be loved, to be forgiven. Forgiveness is the most powerful thing in the universe. Because forgiveness allows you to fail and try again. That's the only way we gain. That's the only way we learn. It's the only way that we go forward. Discipline. I mentioned that softball, that baseball team I was on when I was in grade 9, and our coach was a coach of discipline. We had to learn things. We had to do things the right way, and he didn't let us get away with doing it poorly. And in the end, we loved it. We absolutely loved it. Why? Because, number one, discipline makes what you're doing important. There's a right way to do this. See, if you're doing something that's not important, whether you do it the right way or the wrong way, well, no one cares. It doesn't matter. But when there's a right way and a wrong way, and people around you care about it, this is important. What I am doing is important. We're not just goofing around here. Discipline makes things important. Discipline also makes it possible for you to succeed. If you're not disciplined, you never get good at anything. Discipline lets you know whether you're on the right track or not. And if you're on the right track and you're disciplined on the right track, you start getting better and better at this thing. Discipline. With discipline, you can see your progress. And progress is the motivation to keep working at it. Worldview. Young people are looking to figure out where they fit in. If you create a youth mission, a youth ministry, that helps young people see who they are in relationship to everything going on in the world, relationship to everything they learn at school, relation to all the sporting things that they're going to, relationship to the whole, falling in love, getting married, family thing, church, everything, business, politics, countries, everything in our world, if you can help them figure out how it all holds together, you see, then you're giving them a foundation, a secure place, a safe place from which to discover who they are. See, it's kind of weird. In some ways, we want our kids to go out and try things, to go out and risk failure, but they won't do it unless they're coming from a safe place. They will not go into an unsafe place unless they first see that they're coming from a safe place, and they can always retreat to this safe place. So giving them a worldview, a biblical worldview, this is what life is all about. This is what it's all about. You cannot fail. You're a child of God. God has a plan for you and for your life. And God can use all the negative and hurtful and broken things that happen in your life to create in you what He wants to create in you for His purpose. for all eternity. If a kid has that sense, I am a child of God. It doesn't matter what someone else says. It doesn't matter, you know, what happened on the test. It doesn't happen what happened on the sport thing. It doesn't happen in my social situation. I am a child of God. And God has a plan for my life. Well, what does it take to create a group that does this? How do you start putting these things into practice? And I put here the club concept. I don't know if kids do this anymore, but when I was young, we liked starting clubs. You know, I had a group of friends. We'd ride our bikes. We found this empty lot, this empty old barn, and we set up shop. It was our place. And then we started coming up with rules about our club and membership, who's allowed in our club. We made it a thing, okay? So how do you do that? First of all, you need to understand that a lot of the God stuff happens on the way to other things. So if you have a youth group that's doing sports, sports is the thing you're doing, but the God stuff happens in the cracks of that. While you're doing that, you're trying to create an environment of camaraderie, an environment of good sportsmanship, an environment of teamwork, and all these things are just metaphors for the God thing that you're trying to teach. Time. Okay, when you have a club and you have these, you know, kids who are meeting in this barn, well, if we never meet, it's not much of a club. So you start having, you know, we're going to meet every morning. My wife started a club too when she was a kid with the neighbors. And, you know, they had notebooks, and they would meet every morning for an hour. And they had a special place in one of the chicken coops, I think. That was their place. This is our club headquarters, okay? You don't give time to it. So having a regular schedule, this is when we do things. If you don't do that, your group isn't going to work. Doing things, okay? We can't just sit here in the chicken coop and talk. What are we going to do? Well, let's make some money. Or let's do this project. Or we're going to build a rocket. Or we're going to, you know, what are you going to do? Or we're going to build a, you know, one time with the neighbor, we built a whole underground, I don't know if this was a smart thing or not, it came in or something, but we built an underground clubhouse. So we, you know, we all had to work and dig, and, you know, it's amazing to see kids work incredibly hard for their thing, okay? That's what the club is. The club idea is this is your thing. You're a part of it. It's not just something that's being done to you. Keep track of things, okay? You know, we take roll call. We have a motto, you know? Maybe we have a logo. We write things down. Maybe we have dues, you know, write the money and who paid and who didn't pay. And, you know, we tried to raise money. You know, I remember when I was, you know, like six years old, my brother and I and a neighbor started our own club. We thought we needed money, so we went around the neighborhood and sold rocks. Knock on the door. Yeah, we're selling rocks. We didn't sell too many rocks. I think one neighbor bought a rock from me, and these were just rocks. There's nothing special about these rocks. They were just rocks. I think I had one neighbor give me $1 for a rock. Probably just to, you know, could see these kids have this club concept. They're trying to be something. They're trying to do something. They're experimenting with owning something and making stuff happen. See, that's what you want. You want young people to feel that way, that they're creating something. See, the group that a kid doesn't want to miss is their own group. This is my youth group. This is our youth group. If it's the youth group being given to us by the adults, you say, then it's not mine. It's just another thing that adults are trying to, you know, stuff down our throat. So getting kids to keep track of things. You know, what did we study? What are we learning? What are we doing? The more stuff you can keep track of, the better. Creating rituals. I was part of, it was called Cadets. It's kind of like the Boys Scouts. And you know, we had shirts, you know. We earned merit badges when you did, you know, you took, there were like little courses. Some were fun, some were educational. But when you finished it, you got this little badge. And it's like being in the Army. You got all these medals, okay? And we would get together, and we had an anthem. We had something we sang at the end of the meeting. We had our little pledge that we recited every single time. You know, put our hand over the heart and give our pledge. All these things. What are they? They create this sense that this is important. You're creating something that says this is yours. You are a part of something. You're a part of something bigger than yourself, and you're a needed part of this thing. You're growing in this thing. What does it take to create a group that does this? Create a group that kids don't want to miss. Empower. You could, you know, I guess I've been hinting at this all along. You could lecture about something, or you could let kids ask you any question and then lecture. It's empowering is when you let people be a part of the process. You know, for much of human history, education was, you know, it was downloading. We're just going to download all this stuff on you. Download, download, download. You go to a sermon, the preacher downloads on you. You go to a class, the teacher downloads on you. They have the info, they download it onto you. But what's happening in our modern world? People are uploading. People upload their pictures. People upload what they're doing. People upload their thoughts. And they interact with other people who are doing the same thing. When you upload, you feel ownership for something. When you download, you just sit there, okay? And you can take it or leave it. To create a culture, to create a youth ministry that kids don't want to miss, they need opportunity to upload, to be a part of it. Discipline. Okay, you got to have discipline. You know, you got young people, all right, and young people are filled with energy and you know, a lot of times it's after school or whatever it is, and kids are, they've been pent up, they've been stuck in a place, and they just want to be free. They want to run. They want to shout. They want to bump into things. You know, kids want to wrestle on the floor. You know, they have all this energy, okay? And then you want them to sit and be good. It is difficult. And, you know, parents have a tough time just with their own kids. They have this small unit called their own kids, one or two or three kids. And they have a hard time keeping order. And now you take all these kids from different families, different discipline systems, you throw them all into the room, and then you become the surrogate parent, and you think you're going to somehow hold order and try to get things done? Kids are talking while you're talking. Kids are goofing off. People and kids have their own way of trying to fit in. You know, they're nervous. They have all this energy. They don't know where they fit. And kids have different ways of coping. Some are, you know, hide in the corner. Some become obnoxious. I mean, it's total mayhem. It's amazing that it works at all. So you have to have discipline. I was a youth leader while I was in seminary. I took a job as a youth leader in a church during 1 year when I was at school. I had 50 young people in this group. And I remember the first meeting, you know, they introduced me and I come up and I try to say some stuff and teach some things and what have you. And there was these kids that were just acting up, talking, and this one kid was just, he kept doing it. Finally, I stopped because I couldn't think. They're doing this, and I'm like, I can't even think of what I'm saying. Finally, I said, you know, stop. You know, and I made him come up to the front. He kept doing it. Finally, I kicked him out. And this was the first meeting. You know, and the adults, the other adults that were there that hired me, you know, they're like, uh-oh, what, you know, did he just kick him out? You know, what's going to happen to this kid? He'll never come to youth group again. Well, that kid did continue to come to youth group, and over time, you know, he became a great disciple of Christ. He went through some things. I got a call at 2 in the morning, And someone said he had taken a sleeping bag and went off into the woods. It was winter, snow. And he was going to run away from home. And so at 2 in the morning, I'm running around the woods trying to find him. But what a growing experience. And he became one of the leaders in the youth group. But it happened because of discipline. One little technique I learned, you know, a long time ago is when kids are making a lot of noise, I just raise my hand. I don't say anything, I just raise my hand. And I'm waiting for everyone else to stop talking. Or I think one time I said, I'm waiting for everyone to raise their hand, and when everyone does, we'll continue. And it's like peer pressure is what happens. So, you know, that one person that's still talking eventually stops. But you have to have discipline. Kids want discipline. Kids want discipline in their life. They want to, you know, discipline is like a road. You're driving the car, and the only way to get something is to follow this road. If you're just wandering all through the fields, you're never going to get anywhere. Kids want to get somewhere in the end. They want and need discipline. Purpose. Why are we doing this? Is this just some parent idea to, you know, to keep us out of trouble, to, you know, entertain us, to, you know, is this youth ministry just a, you know, an excuse to give parents a little time off so they can do things without bothering with their own children? No. This is our club. This is our thing. We're trying to make something happen, and each of us are a part of it. We are part of God's mission on the planet. Purpose. A plan. What's your plan? What are you trying to do? What's going to happen this year? Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you studying? What's the plan? You know, things that are important usually have a plan. We're trying to build a rocket to go to the moon. What are we doing here? What is the plan? What are we trying to do in the end? You know, do young people have a clue of what the whole youth ministry is about and where it's going? If someone said, what's this about? Would they be able to answer? So you have to figure that out. What is our plan? What is it that we want? What do we want kids to do when they say, what is this youth mission thing, this youth ministry all about? All right. So that's lecture four. Thanks for listening. And, you know, try to put some of this stuff that we're talking about into practice. Practice on somebody, and we'll see you next time.